Someday we'll have to learn how to clone ourselves and
Coming soon.
two places at once.
Right. I don't know if I want two of me around. I don't think my wife wants two of me around. I know that for sure.
Hello and welcome to Pillars of Wealth Creation, where we talk about creating financial success with a special focus on business and real estate. I'm your host, Todd Dexheimer. Now, let's get to it.
Are you ready to start investing in real estate today, but don't know where to start? Sometimes investing can seem way too complicated, but it actually couldn't be any easier than with homeinvest.com. You know the co-founder and my friend, Nate Armstrong. He appeared on episode 20, and if you haven't heard it, go back and listen to it, episode number 20. Home Invest is a company that allows you to invest in turnkey real estate. Their goal is to build powerful investment tools that make real estate investing accessible to everyone. They have contractors and property managers available for you with the click of your mouse. While other real estate agents can only offer a property, Home Invest brings you a full turnkey package that allows you to diversify your investments, earn passive income, and start building equity in properties. Their simple, intuitive design allows newcomers and experienced investors alike to hit the ground running and to be able to choose the properties when they want and where they want. View easy-to-understand charts and data to allow you to buy in only a few clicks or just a simple phone call. With Home Invest, you'll be building your portfolio as quickly or as slowly as you would like. And right now, Home Invest is giving our listeners, Pillar of Wealth Creation listeners, a free course on how to finally win in real estate investing. So go to homeinvest.com/pillars. That's homeinvest.com/pillars. To claim your free course today. Hey, welcome back to Pillars of Wealth Creation. I'm your host, Todd Dexheimer. With me on this hump day hustle, as always, is John Stiles with Bridge Realty. John, how are you doing today?
I'm doing great, Todd. How are you today?
I am fantastic. Fantastic. I've got a lead that I'm hoping is going to actually become a deal. And I'm pretty excited because it's very, very off market. Brokers don't know about it. Like nobody knows about it except the person that told me about it. And it was all just through networking. So that would be really cool if this deal happens. We'll see. You never know. We're a long ways from still getting it done, but it would be a really exciting deal. It is based in Minnesota, which is cool. And it's just an outdated building, nothing's been done. They started to try to do some work to it, but like 3+ years later, they are still pretty much in the same spot as they were before. So things aren't just like, they're just not working well for them. So it'll be interesting. We'll see how this goes. It'll be fun if it actually happens, but again, long ways from making it happen, but just excited for an opportunity. Most of the opportunities I get are from brokers. So you very rarely do you get something that's completely, truly, completely 100% off market. And it's got an indoor pool. So, you know, we can have parties in there too in the winter. So
cool. Well, that's exciting. I know it's been tough to find good deals locally here.
It is very tough to find anything good in the whole state of Minnesota. I don't really care where you are. It doesn't matter where the state. It's just so hard to find good deals in this state. And again, I don't know if it's going to be a good deal or not. Maybe it won't work, but we're going to try it. So we'll see.
Cool. Good.
Yeah. So that's my news. I don't have much more news other than trying to work on that and just continue to plow along with some of the other stuff I'm working on. And, you know, always, we've talked about it before, but I always try to be networking. And one of the things I'm trying to do a little more purposeful is that networking. I went to a meetup at noon tomorrow, which you should have been at. And then I also was at another event last night, which you should have been at as well. Was able to, but apparently you were trying to make money last night, it sounds.
Yeah, I had conflicts with both of those. On the noon one, I was in a different class on social media marketing, and then evening class, I was in an appointment with a client, actually doing some work.
Yeah. Well, those are important, right? If you're going to potentially make some money on that, that's important. Networking is very good too, because obviously you can make a lot of money networking or build really good relationships. But actually doing your job sometimes is a good thing.
Yep. Someday we'll have to learn how to clone ourselves and
coming soon.
Two places at once.
Right. I don't know if I want two of me around. I don't think my wife wants two of me around. I know that for sure.
Yeah. So, I'll just give you a 30-second update on my Airbnb adventures.
Yeah. What's an update?
As of the time this releases, we should have had 3 different guests stay in our place. Awesome. And so far, positive reviews. And so far, October is looking really good for the payout. We haven't actually received the money yet. Airbnb is still processing it or whatever they do.
Yeah.
But
they go party with it first. They bring it to Vegas. They try to double it. And if they don't, you get just a little bit less.
So just a quick update. And then, we did release our first episode of that podcast. I don't know if you got a chance to see that. But, it's just be sharing what we're doing. So
cool. Awesome. That's exciting. We're looking forward to keep on hearing more about it and, as we go along. So I think a lot of people will be excited to hear about it. I think a lot of people right now hear about Airbnb and they're like curious about it. Because it's still new. I would say it's a still new thing, even though it has kind of taken over, but there's still a lot of uncharted territory. I think it'll become more of a, right now you don't have the big companies in Airbnb. Marriott's not really in it. And, at least that I know of, maybe they're starting to, but a lot of these big, companies, big REITs, they're not into it. I can see that becoming a thing. I really can. And I can see that as an opportunity for a smaller investor like yourself. If you've got, let's call it 10 or 15 or 20 of them and they're successfully running, I could see you being able to sell a package like that to a big, REIT or Marriott or something like that, where they'd want to take that over. And then they've got, very professional, very institutionalized management. Taking over. So I see that coming. I think it'll be a little while. I think the model's got to go get proven. And I think it's got to see at least one cycle too. We haven't seen a cycle, real estate in general and the economy in general has been very good since Airbnb and, all the other VRBO and stuff like that has really been around. So I think once we see a cycle, I think that's when you'll start seeing the institutions come in and I want to be part of it if it's still strong. So,
yeah, I'm not sure if the larger institutions are interested in it or not. I mean, I just think
it's too new for them to be interested right now.
Yeah.
It's definitely too new.
But the attraction with Airbnb is that you're kind of working with a local, small, private party. Mm-hmm. At least that's what I see, You're smirking like I'm off on that, though.
You might be right. I don't think that's like I have never booked an Airbnb thinking this is some cute little homeowner type of thing. I book it going, hey, I need a place to stay, and this looks like a good place for maybe not necessarily always cheaper, but it'll fit my family better. Or like when we were in Nashville, it was a group of 4 of us and, a group of 4 guys in a hotel, each guy's got to share beds and cuddle with each other at night, where this one, we were in a duplex and there was 4 different beds. So we could all have a bed of our own and cuddle with our pillows instead. So that was a good thing. And it was actually cheaper, you know, so I think we paid $750 or $700 for two nights where the hotel was $700 a night. Actually more than that. I think it was like 900. So it was actually cheaper doing that, but the point is that it was just a better setup for us. And so that's kind of what I look at when I'm looking at Airbnb. I don't go, oh, I get to deal with just some stranger. I think for me, it's actually a little, I'm a little less comfortable with the Airbnb. And now I'm older. So I think the younger generation, the 20s, and so they're less paranoid. But when you got an Airbnb, how do I really know you clean the sheets? Like, what's the standard? Who's watching over you? Nobody's watching over you, right? Where a hotel, they're being watched, you know, and they've got processes in place and systems, and you know, they got the maid that comes in, they're knocking at your door at 10 a.m. to try to make sure they can change the linens and stuff for the next people that are coming in, where I don't know if you change the sheets. I don't. And one of the guys that was there stays at a lot of Airbnbs, and he said that that did happen to them. They got in really late and they came in and the sheets weren't changed. And you could tell the beds weren't made or nothing was done. And so I think that's the little concerning. Like, how do I know there's no bed bugs in there and stuff like that?
Yeah.
You know, when was the last time you actually cleaned the house?
And that's probably the challenge for scaling it up too large, because if you're going to have, you know, a full-time cleaning person, they got to go from one spot to another rather than just down the hall.
Yep.
So maybe here's a question.
They've taken the single family houses and scaled them up. So I think, you know, how do you scale up a single family house? It's the same way. You just need enough in that market for it to make sense. You can't have, they can't buy your 15 and be done. They've got to buy 500 of them. In Minneapolis, and then now they're close enough to each other. If they're all 500 in Minneapolis, they're not going to be in a few neighborhoods likely of Minneapolis. They're going to be in, you know, the neighborhoods that people want to, you know, go to. So it's going to be fairly concentrated still. So we'll see. Who knows? Yeah. There's arguments both ways. I could see it going either way, but I do think eventually somebody's going to try to dip their toe into it. We'll see.
I guess one thing I wonder about is why don't hotels have more accommodations for larger groups? You know, like just
because they haven't needed to.
Well, yeah, I think there's the need, but they're not meeting the need. So that's where Airbnb is filling it.
That's why Airbnb becomes very popular, is because they're not filling a need out there in the market. Like, there's need for that. Think of how many times people go on like family vacations, and there is some of that, right? I mean, you go to like the Wisconsin Dells, which anybody who's from kind of this area knows what it is. And there's those condo hotels all over the place. You go to like a Hilton hotel, and there are rooms with adjoining doors, but that's about as fancy as you get in most of them. Yep. So yeah, there's definitely that need. Hotels do have a little bit of that, but not nearly what they should have. Right. And now it's being taken advantage of. And I think it's great. I think anytime we have disruption in the market, you know, there's some demand, and the people that were just complacent, they're the ones that are getting hammered by it. So.
Right.
But at the same time, I just talked to a hotel developer last night, and they're developing hotels. They just finished up on a hotel project, and I asked them, how's Airbnb, VRBO, all these other companies affected the hotel industry? And he said, not at all. I said, really? It hasn't been a disruption? People are still building? He said, yep, really hasn't done much. So they've got their own unique niche.
Well, that's true. They were meeting different needs. So,
yeah. So, cool. So I don't know, just kind of interesting. But as the economy goes down, that's when it'll be really interesting to see, right? Because when the economy is good, people are traveling right now. But when the economy goes down, people stop traveling or travel less. And that's what will be interesting to see, is like, you know, do these hotels get affected way more than before? Does Airbnb get affected a ton? You know, what happens during a bad economy versus a booming economy?
Right.
Hey, I want to interrupt this episode real quick to talk to you about Nate Armstrong. Our sponsor, Nate Armstrong, he's with homeinvest.com, and you want to get to know Nate. So go to homeinvest.com and just connect with Nate. Talk to him. Learn about his operation, what he's got going on. He's a turnkey provider, and it may not be right for you, but it could be the perfect fit. So it doesn't hurt. It's a free call, free consultation, just to figure out, you know, what they do, what they have to offer. And worst case is you're going to meet a great person who's really well educated in real estate. He's done a ton of different real estate strategies, and probably he's going to teach you a little bit, even on a short conversation with him. So go to homeinvest.com and connect with Nate's company. You're definitely not going to be disappointed. It's worth it. So thanks, and we'll get back to our show. Let's move on to today's topic, John. You had some questions, and I thought, well, let's just answer them on the podcast.
Okay, cool. So, you know, I wanted to ask these questions to you because you've got a lot of experience renovating properties and at a large scale. So for the average person who maybe is not an expert in construction and the various types of products, the various qualities, you know, there's a lot to learn. So for example, I've just been working on getting quotes for a roof, a flat roof on a 4-unit residential building. And there's been a big learning experience to see, you know, what are the different products that are out there. The main three that I've learned about are EPDM, which is rubber, right. TPO, which is, yep. I think, kind of like a vinyl product. Yep. And then there's PVC.
Yep.
So, you know, it's taking some time to learn about those products. And then when you talk to the different sales reps, they're all selling their product. And of course, talking down about the other products. Oh, this is why that other product, you know, you shouldn't use that anymore. That's, you know, this is the new, better way. So, you know, as somebody coming into it, there's a lot to learn. You're not sure who to believe. And then a roof is just one example. So windows are another example. When it comes time to change those, you know, there's lots of different options, and it's different from, you know, if you're buying it for your single family house, your owner occupied house, you know, you maybe are going to be concerned about how it looks, how it makes you feel. You know, there's a lot more considerations on a apartment. You know, we are concerned with looks, cosmetics to an extent. We want it to be attractive, but more so we want it to be functional. And we want it to be a good quality that's going to last, you know, that, so we don't have to do it again in the near future. So those are just kind of two examples that I'm currently dealing with. So I want to get your input, maybe specifically about those two. And then on a broader topic, you know, how do you handle that when you're planning a large scale renovation, just knowing what products to choose?
Yeah. So it is very difficult. Because there's so much information out there and a lot of it contradicts with each other. So you're right on that. I'd say the answer in 75% of the case is go with the middle of the road stuff. Don't go with the cheap end. Don't go with the high end. Go with the middle of the road. And that's going to 75% of the time get you to what you need, right? So for instance, you talked about windows, don't, if you go with the cheapest ones, you're just going to have cheap windows. They're not going to perform well. You know, you're going to have, they're going to break easily. You're going to have leaks and all kinds of just issues. But if you go with the high end, you're going to get a really nice product. You surely are. And you're going to get probably very good service, but it's more expensive than what you really need to spend. I mean, I can put a window in my house that's going to cost me $150 for the window. And I can get that same window, same size, and I can put it in my house, and the window itself is going to cost me probably $700 to $800. So there's a big difference there for the window. So what would I choose? I would be it would actually be more, not maybe even middle, it would be a little closer. A lot of times for rental, it's a little closer to low end, but it's not going to be the lowest end. It's going to be, we're talking like in that third, that bottom third, and kind of right at the third level. I would say, like I said, 75% of the time, you don't have to probably do too much digging. You might want to read a few reviews and then say, okay, well, you know, the cheapest window was 150. Most expensive window was 700. This one's costing me 225. The median is, you know, 350 or whatever. That this one I would say is probably a decent choice. So you go with the one that's between, you know, 225 to 275. And that's going to probably get you there. And there's a lot of variations though, even on the windows, you know, do you go with the wood? Do you go with the vinyl? There's different reasons right. for it. I think one of the probably answers to John is in all cases, try to talk to a company, either a contracting company that sells all the product. You know, they're an installer for several different types of products, or talk directly with the supplier that sells those products, and they sell all three of the products. So a lot of times a supply house, like we've got ABC Supply by us, and they're actually nationwide. They're all over the place. So ABC Supply, they have all those products that you're talking about. They sell them all. They don't have, like, they're not licensed to install a certain one or to sell a certain one. They're licensed to install or sell all of them. They don't install. So if you go to them and say, hey, what's the pros and cons? You're still going to get opinions, right? Because everybody likes certain things for certain reasons, but you're at least going to get a better understanding of what they are. The other thing is I would try to avoid new products that haven't stood the test of time, right? And that's challenging as well, because we've got a lot of new products, like you talked about the PVC. PVC and different plastics and vinyls are becoming very, very popular in construction. Now, most of the vinyls and PVCs have been around for a while, but they're being put into new products that they've never been put into, like roofing. And so that's a little more difficult, because we go, okay, it looks great right now. We've tested it in a lab, but we're not in a lab. Minnesota gets down to 30 below zero. We get, you know, 2 or 3 feet of snow. We get melting snow and then sub-zero temperatures, and then, you know, melting snow again, and then sub-zero temperatures. We got all this frost, you know, freeze-thaw cycle. Shoot, you woke up this morning, it was what, 28 degrees outside, you know, whatever it was. And you know, next week it'll probably be 60. And so we get all kinds of variations of temperature, variations of wind and rain and all kinds of stuff. You've got to understand that when you're trying a new product that hasn't been around and it's been tested in a lab, well, how realistic is that lab? You know, it might be realistic for, you know, Arizona, where you don't have a lot of, well, I mean, even they have different climate, but I mean, you know, it's going to be, you know, it's going to be hot and not very humid for a good chunk of the year. They don't really get a lot of frost. I'm sure, I don't know, you know, Phoenix maybe gets some, I don't know. But you kind of know their climate is pretty stable. So yeah, I think be careful with new product. And then be careful with just a contract, because a lot of contractors are special. Like, they are certified to install, you know, a certain product type, and that's what they're going to sell. Because they're certified in, and they you know, they're that specialty installer. So that's what they're going to sell. So you got to be careful with that.
Yep, I've run into a lot of that. So, and I'll mention the climate thing is really important, because some of the, if you just search a product in general online, you're going to get somebody's review about it, but that might be applicable to Georgia, a different region. Yeah. Right. And so, like, so for example, one with roofs these days, you can get white roofs, which sounds like very energy efficient because you can reflect light and yep. that's great in a warm climate where you don't want all that heat in the building. In our cold climate, we're like, well, we do want heat around here. It's cold.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, but it's covered with snow too.
Right. So what I've heard, the darker or the, you know, the black roofing can maybe attract the sun and melt the snow faster.
Sure. Sure. So, yeah. Well, and how can it, the most important thing is can it withstand that temperature variation? We have to have product that has a lot of elasticity because for roofing, because we have so much climate change. And even for windows, we talk about vinyl windows, the old vinyl windows, the ones that were put in like the 90s, a lot of times didn't have very much elasticity. They're very brittle and hard, which is great to have a hard window. But once you have freeze thaw, it's terrible to have a hard window because once you, the vinyl, not the glass, but even actually the glass, you want a lot of give and elasticity in the glass. But once you have that freeze thaw, anything touches it, that vinyl just shatters, right? And you open your window up and try to close it and the vinyl breaks. And that's what you don't want, right, in our climate. But if you put that same window down in Georgia, it's just fine because they don't have that same problem that we have. So you got to look at where it's being installed and, you know, what that product history is. Like you said, you've got to look at the climate that you're in and what, you know, is that product really meant for that climate? Just like when people are buying these like Priuses and stuff and they come with the stock tires and you can't make it up a hill, like, you know, that steep. Yeah. You got to look at the product type you're buying. And maybe you got to get new some snow tires for your Prius.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. I know one of the roofers that I talked to, he, like you explained there, he was certified for one specific product, and that's what he was selling. And he was telling us how it was so much better than all the other things out there. And then the next guy I talked to, he was like, I kind of shared some of what I was told. He's like, you must have talked to XYZ company, you know? Yep, that was them. It's like, that's, yeah, we funny. Don't like them. So
that's pretty funny. Yeah. And so why though? You know, did they not like them just because they're a competitor and they don't like their competitors, or did they not like them because they can sell 5 different products and they sell the best products? You know, so why? Like, if they can sell the same product as that company is specialized in, yet they don't recommend that product as much, well, then there's, you know, now we got to like pay attention to that. What you guys can sell that same product, but you're not recommending it. You know, why? What are we recommending? And so, yeah, I think, again, I'll go back to 75% of the time, you're going to want to be in the bottom third, but the upper part of the bottom third on price. That's going to get you a good product that's affordable for your rental property. And now if you've got an A-class rental property, it's different, right? So if you got an A-class, you want to be in probably in at least, you know, closer to that halfway point, and maybe even the two thirds. I don't think there's ever a need for the top product in a rental. I don't think there's, I can't think of one case where you really need it. Because typically the top products just either they have such a good reputation that people just want to buy them just because of the reputation, but it doesn't mean they perform any better, you know, or they've got extra bells and whistles that you just don't need. Usually that's the case. But there's other, you know, let's go to granite, for instance. Granite sold not based on the quality of the granite. It's sold based on the availability of the granite. So if you've got a granite that's, you know, we've got a brown granite with, you know, a lot of specs in it, That's a pretty typical granite. You can find it everywhere. They can pull it out of Italy, pull it out everywhere. They can pull it out of Minnesota. They can pull it out of Wisconsin, wherever. They could find that same granite. And so that granite goes for, you know, let's call it $20 a square foot. Where if you're going to go with a, you know, like a fire red granite, you know, with cool waves in it, and we can only find it in, you know, the southeast corner of Italy, that's probably going to go for, you know, $150 a square foot. The quality is the same. You know, we drop a big rock on either one of them, they're going to both break at the same point. They're going to, you know, the quality is the same. But it's just, can we actually get the product? So understanding the product too, or the what you're, the material that you're buying is important as well, because like I said, you know, I can get a black granite for $30 a square foot or $20 a square foot, but I can go with a different kind of black granite and it's going to cost you $50. You know, my wife for our house wanted a white granite with a lot of white and gray in it. And she didn't want the, so there's a granite with a white and gray in it. And there's granite with white and gray with kind of red. It looks like somebody spilled wine on it. And so it's got all these red kind of pink specks all over it. Well, that stuff you can get for like $40 a square foot. But if it doesn't have the red specks and it's harder to get. So that went for like $60 a square foot. Well, we had to get that, yeah, of course. So we had to spend like $60 a square foot on it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that's a totally different situation when you're
doing totally different situation. And there's plenty of instances where that's the case. You have to do a little bit of research and ask the right questions, like, why is there different prices? And that was the question I asked. We went to these granite places and I said, why is there different? Why is it so drastically different? Like, this thing is ugly as can be. This granite is beautiful. Why am I paying less for the beautiful granite than the ugly granite? And that was the answer that I got at every place was, well, because this stuff is rare and granite, all granite is basically created equal. And I'm sure that's not 100% true, but for the most part it is. Yeah, and there's other product like that. So you've got to look for that. Why is it different pricing? And there's some instances where just being cheap is good for a rental. Like why go out and get it? You're talking about like an outlet or a switch. Why spend the extra, you know, few dollars for an outlet when you can get one for, you know, 35 cents and it's going to be just as good as far as how much it lasts than the other one. But then you go with like plumbing fixtures, and I would rather spend $100 at a plumbing supply house where I know the parts in that plumbing fixture are going to be, you know, metal and quality with good washers and good O-rings and all that kind of stuff, versus going to one of the big box stores and buying their $25 fixture that's going to have everything plastic. They're going to have thinner O-rings. You're going to have thinner, you know, washers. Everything's going to be cheaper. And I'm only going to spend $25. Well, what happens in that instance? You know, my kitchen faucet that I bought for $25, I go through four of them, you know, and then the kitchen faucet I bought for $75 or $100, that thing lasts, you know, I go through one of those for every four of the other ones. Right, it's the same material price, but now I got to pay somebody to go in and fix it, and I probably have leaks in between where my tenants don't tell me that it's been dripping for 3 months. You know, so now I got water bill issues too. Yep. So there's certain things you really need to pay attention to and pay a little bit more for, and there's other things you could just go or whatever. For your roof, it's very important to get a good product, right, with a good warranty. I would make sure these companies are giving you good warranties. You know, and I think that would be another decision, you know, that would be basing it on too, is what's the warranty and how limited is that warranty? And then what's that company? Has it been around for a while and does it seem like it's going to stay?
Right. Speaking of roofs again, have you made an opinion? I don't know if you want to share it here, but have you made an opinion about what's best in our climate?
I do like the TPO. I think that's a good product. And obviously the, what's the other one? The black one. The
EPDM?
EPDM has been around for a long time. So then that's a good product too. So I don't think you can go wrong with EPDM. It's been around for forever.
Mm.
Yeah.
Cool. That's what I chose.
There you go. I don't think you went wrong with it. I mean, it's been around forever. We know how long it lasts. We know what the problems are with it. So it's you don't have any surprises there.
Right.
So cool. I think that covers it, John. You got any other questions on the topic or any other thoughts that you want to add?
I guess it's a challenge that you always have to go through because each situation is a little bit different. You know, what class of building it is. So decide that first. You know, who is your customer? What are they in it, their expectations going to be? And, from there, learn, do a little bit of research ahead of time. So I guess these are my takeaways, do some research ahead of time from what you said, the supply house is a good place to go because they've got all the options and they typically have sales reps there. So and that's what I did this morning, actually. I asked the contractor the other day, all right, where are you getting this from? And can I go touch this window in person? And so I went there this morning. They showed me the three different options. Turns out the contractor was selling the highest option, of course. But I'm not sure why I shouldn't, the lowest option, it meets all the minimum standards, still energy efficient.
We could talk about that specifically off camera if you want to talk about that. But yeah, I think the other thing too to think about, John, is you've got to also rely on your team a little bit here too. It's good to have some knowledge. Like for me, it's nice because I have a pretty good knowledge of it and I've been around it. But it's good to have at least baseline knowledge. But you also have to rely on your team. And an unbiased opinion from your team. And hopefully, if you've got the right team in place, they're going to provide you good information. And then always giving them the expectations, even if you're building a new team and, you're finding a new roofer and a person to do the windows for you, did you tell them what your goals and objectives are? Are you telling them what your expectations are? I think that you need to be very clear with that as well. Like you don't, a lot of people will just say, well, it's a rental property. Oh, okay. Well, immediately I think, and I don't think this, but a lot of contractors think cheap. I'm going to go cheap. I'm going to install it as quickly as I can, slam that thing in there. I'm going to forget about, doing some of the, maybe there's some rot that normally I would have taken out and fixed. But this is a rental. If there's a little bit of rot, whatever, we're just going to pop that old window up, throw the new window up, put the trim up, boom, we're walking away. We're not spending a lot of time caulking it. We're just going to do it quick and dirty fast. Was that what you really want? Is this just like, are you just a slumlord and you just want this quick, dirty thing done? Or do you want a good job? It doesn't have to be the nicest thing in the world, but you want a good job. You want it to last a long time. So you need to give them your expectations. Like, look, this is what I'm expecting. Here's what I want out of this job. I expect you to provide that. I think if you're doing that, if you're communicating clearly, you got a lot better chance at getting a good quality product that you actually want that's affordable for your rental.
Right.
Yeah.
Cool.
Well, awesome, man. I think that's it.
Sounds good.
Keep on beating it. So that's good.
So yeah. All right. Well, thank you viewers and listeners for tuning in. Be sure to leave us a comment below if you've got some tips and tricks about, deciding your level of finish and your level of product at your rental property. you know, be sure to comment below and we can continue the conversation there. And while you're at it, we love your feedback and review, trying to get this information out to more people. And so we can just all learn together. And so be sure to give us a positive review so more people can discover us there. So you can find us on iTunes, on SoundCloud, and of course, YouTube and Facebook.
Yeah. Yeah. All those platforms and more. Yeah. If you've got an opinion too, on like, you know, this rental, we've talked about the quality versus, you know, high quality versus low quality. Maybe you're one of those really high quality people, or maybe you're one of those really low quality people. Well, why are you making that decision? It'd be really interesting to hear other people's opinions. I want things bulletproof as much as I can. So I'm going to, instead of putting in some vinyl, I'm probably going to put in tile. But I'm not going to spend top dollar on the best tile. I'm going to go with the mid-grade tile that's not going to crack and make sure it's installed properly. So it'd just be interesting to see what, you know, what other people's thoughts are on that. So if you got a thought on it, if you're doing, you know, high end, low end, middle end, it'd be just nice to know, you know, what you're thinking and why.
Sounds good.
Cool, man. All right. Well, that's it. Make every day Saturday, John.
You too.
Are you ready to start investing in real estate today, but don't know where to start? Sometimes investing can seem way too complicated, but it actually couldn't be any easier than with homeinvest.com. You know the co-founder and my friend, Nate Armstrong. He appeared on episode 20, and if you haven't heard it, go back and listen to it. Episode number 20. Home Invest is a company that allows you to invest in turnkey real estate. Their goal is to build powerful investment tools that make real estate investing accessible to everyone. They have contractors and property managers available for you with the click of your mouse. While other real estate agents can only offer a property, Home Invest brings you a full turnkey package that allows you to diversify your investments, earn passive income, and start building equity in properties. Their simple, intuitive design allows newcomers and experienced investors alike to hit the ground running and to be able to choose the properties when they want and where they want. View easy to understand charts and data to allow you to buy in only a few clicks or just a simple phone call. With Home Invest, you'll be building your portfolio as quickly or as slowly as you would like. And right now, Home Invest is giving our listeners, Pillar of Wealth Creation listeners, a free course on how to finally win in real estate investing. So go to homeinvest.com/pillars. That's homeinvest.com/pillars. To claim your free course today.